Trans Resistor Radio.
You are listening to Trans Resistor Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Franz. My website is theageoftransitions.com. Check out theageoftransitions.com for past episodes of Trans Resistor Radio. You can download them. You can listen to them on the website. Listen to them anytime is convenient for you to do so. You can also watch videos, read articles, and you can also find my book, Revolve Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood, at theageoftransitions.com. So if you have not been to the website, I hope that you will do so. And I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and keep listening. Today on Trans Resistor Radio, we have another guest lined up. I'm very excited about this, as I always am. Today, our guest is a writer. He's an author of at least 15 books. Not sure the exact number there. He teaches nonfiction at Simon Fraser University, and he's written countless magazine articles throughout the years because he is a long-form literary journalist. Today on the show, I welcome Daniel Wood.
Hello.
Hello there. Thanks for coming on the show.
I'm delighted to be there.
Now, how many books have you written throughout the years?
I've written 15 books, both fiction and nonfiction, although I'm primarily known here in Canada as a long-form nonfiction magazine writer.
Yes, yes. And the reason that I invited you on the show is to talk specifically about an older article that you wrote in West Magazine in the year 1990.
Oh my God, that's a long time ago here. I've had to take out the article to remind myself what I wrote.
Yes, it is a long ways back, but specifically I wanted to talk about the article because it's been cited many times online. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but it's been cited a lot of times. I came across it doing research for my new film, and I wanted to kind of get confirmation that certain implications in the article you actually meant, and just to revisit the article too. And the article itself is titled "The Wizard of the Bacca Grande," and it's an interview that you did with Maurice Strong. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, now to preface this, how did you come about this assignment in the first place?
At the time, I worked for Canada's national newspaper called the Globe and Mail, which had a magazine that came out with it, sort of like the New York Times has the New York Times magazine, and I was one of the editors of this West magazine. So this is a national magazine, national newspaper, and Maurice Strong's a very famous Canadian. And what he was doing in Colorado and trying to set up this Bacca Grande spiritual center was just far too fabulous a story to not follow up on. I mean, Maurice Strong was an eminently famous person, founder of the United Nations Environmental Division, co-wrote the Brundtland Report, and was a heavyweight in politics in Canada for decades. And then he goes off to Colorado and founds a spiritual utopia with his wife. And it is such a bizarre story. I said to the editor-in-chief, I want to go to Colorado and spend some time with Maurice and his wife, Hannah, and figure out what the hell's going on. How does a leading international political figure decide to settle in the mountains of Colorado and start a utopia?
Now, how long was your stay there with Maurice Strong?
I spent a week with him.
Okay. Wow. And what part of Bacca Grande did you get to see while you were there?
Oh, Bacca Grande is a huge, an enormous ranch, one of the largest ranches in the United States. And Maurice Strong had bought it, and with his wife's encouragement, had decided to take a section of this large piece of land and turn it into a spiritual center for all the world's religions to gather. And over the course of a week, I saw it all. I mean, Maurice and I drove the whole perimeter of this place and climbed the mountains and visited all the different ashrams and temples and that existed that had been built on this land as he and Hannah gathered the world's religious organizations to his ex-ranch. It's no longer a ranch. It used to be a real estate development. Now it's basically his home.
Now, did Strong or Hannah, did they share any of their personal spiritual beliefs with you during your stay with them?
Oh, absolutely. That's if the story had as it does several angles. One is how Maurice and Hannah sort of came to own this. It's a very remote place in up on the mountains of the of southern Colorado. So there's that story. Then there's the story of their spiritual quest, and then there's the story, which was astounding to me, the story that I had no idea I was bumping into, of the water war that had begun when they discovered this large resource of water under the Boca Grande. So during the time, I spent many hours with Hannah and Maurice walking the desert and in their wonderful house, and talking about how it was that they had come to believe that it was necessary that in order to save the world from the potential of some environmental calamity of the future, that there needed to be a spiritual awakening across the world's religions, and that they were hoping that the Boca Grande would become the sort of seed which would spring an international movement for understanding that human beings and the planet were in jeopardy unless there was a sort of turning towards a more spiritual attitude and a turning perhaps away from the more consumeristic or capitalistic or conflict-oriented attitudes which were sort of predominant in the predominant throughout human history, and certainly predominant in the 20th century.
Now, do you believe, as the years have gone by, now looking back on this, has their hope for the Boca Grande what's become of their hopes in terms of that whole making a spiritual revolution happen?
I'm a professional journalist, so I'm trained to be skeptical, and we had plenty of conversations, and in fact Maurice Strong was somewhat skeptical that Hannah's dream of turning this whole thing into a revolution for the sort of revival of human society, he himself was somewhat skeptical, but he was willing to go along because he had enough of the mystic in him to allow her to try this as a giant experiment. And in the article I wrote, and Hannah knew very well that I wasn't sort of buying some of the New Age stuff that she was selling. After all, Shirley MacLaine had been told by her spiritual guider herself to move to Boca Grande and join this thing. And I so rolled my eyes at that. She says, well, you've got to accept that if Shirley MacLaine wants to move next door to you, you probably want to have her move there because it's going to be, it'll draw a lot of people. And I go, yeah, but it'll draw a lot of people who want to be paparazzi and take Shirley MacLaine's picture, and that's sort of anti-spiritual. So I think the reality is, and I haven't been back there, so I don't know, I was skeptical that the spiritual wishes, as well-intentioned as they were, have fallen just as the world itself has fallen into, considerable subsequent evidence that globally we're doing very poorly on all the issues of global warming. Internationally, we're doing very poorly on the issues of warfare and religious conflict. Monetarily, it's hard to believe.